For those who don't know me, my name is Nick van Rensburg. I'm part of the leadership team at Bay City Church. And if I'm looking a little bit brown, different color than I used to, I've just enjoyed some time in the sun with my wife, had a little break. Good to be back, good to be with family. And awesome just to celebrate this morning the goodness of God towards his family. Just watching those little ones, yeah, the big lump in my throat. It was like a joyous, tender moment watching them do their thing. Just the life of God expressed through them. The Chosen Ones team, to honor them this morning. Guys, we are so appreciative and grateful and thankful that you entrust your kids to this team on a Sunday to help fashion, form, and shape Jesus in them. So thank you for that. You're as important as that team is. So bless you for that. So this morning, I get the privilege of preaching. Happy to be back in the pulpit. And we continue with our theme, He Will Be Called. And we're looking at the topic that Isaiah highlights in Isaiah chapter 9 of Jesus being described as everlasting Father. The countdown to Christmas has begun. We have our lists of what to buy, what to stock the cupboards with. We have the gifts that we have bought, and maybe there will be a last-minute rush in buying those gifts. We have our menus planned, and we're about, some of us, to go on holiday. All good things. When you go on holiday, when you embrace this Christmas season, I just want to just ask us quickly, please do it within a budget that you can adhere to. Can I say that again? Do it within a budget that you can adhere to. Pay, you know, you pay now and you pay later. Much more than you pay now if we are buying and doing things on credit cards. So please this season, don't be reckless. The countdown to Christmas has begun. It is a significant season of celebration. And I trust that over these next couple of weeks, as we have done this whole year, that our celebration is rooted in the person of whom the season is all about, Jesus Christ. We're into week 3 of our series, He Will Be Called. And these topics, friends, are very significant in the season of Advent. We're in the midst of Advent. So if in case you're wondering, what is Advent all about? It's the 4 Sundays, 4 weeks leading up to the birth of Christ. And so the word Advent comes from the Latin word Adventus, which means coming. And it's used in the context to announce the arrival of a notable person. In our case, as believers, as Christians, it's about Jesus. And so the prophet Isaiah, in his prophecy, when you read his book, his prophetic book, Isaiah chapter 9, and you can turn there, and we're reading from verses 6 to 7, there is an announcement, there is a proclamation that Isaiah is making about this king that's going to arrive, and this is what he says, for to us, please say to us, all of us, a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor. And that was preached on week before last. He will be called Mighty God. That was preached on last week by Darren. Everlasting Father. We're going to look at that this morning. Prince of Peace. These are 4 titles. These are 4 descriptions that Isaiah announces about this great king who is about to make his entrance into history and change the lives of humanity. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. Please say with me, forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Incredible truth that Isaiah is proclaiming here. In this announcement, Isaiah proclaims that Jesus the Messiah, this man that's going to come and impact and influence history, is no ordinary man. He is unique. He is incomparable. The greatness of him, like nothing ever seen nor heard. This man, Jesus. We can think of great leaders that have been born and made a significant impact on our world. Nelson Mandela comes to mind. But Jesus, friend, is unlike any of them. He stands alone, incomparable, unique, different, mighty in power, mighty in glory, mighty in strength. And so the names that Isaiah uses to announce his coming, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, reveals the divinity of Jesus Christ. That he, Jesus, will be God on earth, God with us, present in human form. It is amazing, it blows my mind, that God would choose to present himself as man, as flesh, on earth to be with us. Matthew in his gospel records the same, Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, God with us. So God in his power, God in his might, God in his wisdom, God in his glory would be revealed to all of mankind in human form, in the flesh, as man. And this morning we are going to focus on what Isaiah means, what he describes when he talks about Jesus as Everlasting Father. You know, Isaiah's prophecy has to be understood within a context. And so the Jews at the time, they had no Trinitarian understanding. They only knew God as Father. That's it. And so what Isaiah is doing in prophesying and proclaiming and talking about Jesus that is coming, he's unpacking the Trinity for them, that God would be present as Son Jesus on earth. And so they're going to get a Trinitarian understanding that God himself would appear in the flesh. He is coming as a Savior. He is coming as a Deliverer. He is coming as a King for all of humanity. And so when Jesus appears in that form, he will fully reveal and represent God as himself. Amazing. Amazing. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, and I'm reading New Living Translation. Just love this translation. This is what the writer of Hebrews, how he describes God appearing on earth in the flesh. He says that the Son, Jesus, radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything. Please say with me, sustains everything. Means everything he's in control of. He sustains everything. The very air that we breathe, he sustains. The blood that pumps from our heart through our veins, he sustains. He sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. And so what the writer of Hebrews is saying here is that Jesus represents God exactly. Exactly. So if you look at Jesus, you will see God in all of his glory and all of his strength and all of his might and all of his power. He is God, the Son, the second person of the Trinity. So having heard all of that, you'll say, well, so what? What's the relevance? Very important, friends, because our faith depends on having a revelation of Jesus as Everlasting Father. Very, very important. Faith hinges on an understanding of knowing Jesus as Everlasting Father. Our very life, present and into eternity, depends upon that revelation. Jesus as Everlasting Father. Firstly, Jesus is the only way to God. So when Isaiah prophesies this prophecy, this incredible truth, Jesus is the only way to God. He can bridge that which Paul calls the dividing wall of hostility. Only Jesus can do that, friends, can reconcile man with God, reconcile us with the Father. New Age, mysticism, philosophical concepts, Buddha, no other religion can do what Jesus came to earth to do. They claim it, but they don't have the power to do that. Only one man, uniquely, mightily, powerful, and glorious, Jesus, can do that. Jesus, in speaking to Thomas prior to his death, reveals that he is the only way to God. And he says, Thomas was a bit slow on the uptake. Kind way of saying he's a little bit doff. He says to Thomas, he says in John 14, verses 6 to 7, he says, I am. The very thing that Isaiah prophesies, Jesus claims. And he doesn't, it's not an empty claim. He says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, he says, you will know my Father as well. In other words, if you truly have a revelation of me as everlasting Father, you will understand God the Father as an everlasting Father. Beautiful. He is the only way that can reconcile, that can bring down that dividing wall of hostility and reconcile man with God. And so the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross, his resurrection from the dead, has given all of us sinners, because we're all sinners according to the word, suffering the penalty for sin, access to God the Father. Only he can bring that reconciliation. And so when this announcement was made about Jesus, for to us a son is given, he will be called. This announcement that Isaiah makes is that he is the only source for eternal life. He is the only source for life now and into eternity. No life can be found apart from him. This is this amazing truth that is unpacked and uncovered for us this morning. He is the only one, friends, who can free us from the bondage of sin. You can say 50 Hail Marys. You can do whatever you want. You can play with beads between your fingers. You can do whatever you want. That does not release us from the guilt or the penalty of sin. Only Jesus upon the cross and a confession in him does that. He is the only source for eternal life. Secondly, is that we can find hope. We can find hope in his eternal promises. And so when Isaiah says that, for unto us a son is given, God with us, he comes with an eternal, faithful promise for all who believe in him. We can have hope and find hope in his unfailing promises. This is the truth that Isaiah proclaims. What Jesus has said or what God has said, he will do. He will accomplish it. He doesn't change like shifting shadows. He is consistent. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. He is consistent in love. He is consistent in mercy. He is consistent in might. He is consistent in power. He is consistent in strength. And we have access by his promises to us in every character and nature that is described there. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Please say with me, forever. Everlasting Father, forever. Might be somebody this morning, this came out in a pre-service prayer meeting, might be someone who struggles to relate to Jesus as everlasting Father because of an experience with a compromised father, earthly father. Or maybe you've grown up with an absent father, and so you struggle to relate with God as Father because of that experience. Maybe you feel neglected, disappointed, let down. Might be feeling those things this morning, and it's because of your natural circumstances, your natural experiences. Your view of God is viewed through that experience. And so you say, because my father, my earthly father is going to let me down. Maybe heavenly Father will let me down. The writer of Hebrews highlights this truth, this promise, that Jesus, as everlasting Father, can be trusted. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he'll be consistent in revealing himself in his glory, in his might, and his power to us as everlasting Father. He can be trusted. Shelley's word is so key for us, I think, this morning. To reference that again, he desires, as a father, he desires intimacy with us. He desires to draw us close. Desires to live in wholeness, in freedom, in purpose, in the destiny for which he has created us. He desires that for us. He doesn't withhold his promises from us. He doesn't withhold his power from us. We choose what we will walk in. We choose the revelation of him that we will live in and access. We make that choice, that decision. So Isaiah says, this God who presences himself in our midst in human form, he can be trusted. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Maybe your dad let you down. Maybe your dad disappointed you, but he won't. If you will entrust your life to him and allow him to take the reins and to control your present and your future. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. Incredible truth. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. We have a Father who gives us courage, Heavenly Father. We have a Heavenly Father who can strengthen us and empower us. God is gracious, friends. A reminder again, Isaiah's prophetic word, this announcement of Jesus' arrival, is that God is gracious, God is loving, God is kind. Can I say that again? Because sometimes we fail to believe that and to live in that truth, that God is gracious, God is loving, God is kind. And we can entrust our lives to Him, friends, knowing that nothing makes Him unable or unwilling to protect or to provide for us. Nothing. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, the writer of Hebrews again. God has said, this is not man has said, God has said, the very words from the heart of the Father uttered by His own tongue, God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Because He said that, so we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. Not because somebody else has said, because He Himself has said it, and He has proven His faithfulness and His consistency to all of humanity. And it's a love, and it's a grace, and it's a mercy that never, ever ends, because He is everlasting Father. He is with us always, and we can always trust Him and always lean into Him. We are living the reality that we live in. It's an environment that's constantly changing. This is the truth that we need to hold fast to in this changing world. God says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. I believe that we are living in this age with PSP syndrome. Might be thinking, what the heck is PSP syndrome? Well, I'm going to unpack it for us a little bit. Political change, social change, and physiological change. Those are the realities that we face. Governments come and go. And when they come with an ideological view, and they outwork it in the way they rule, but then they get voted out, and somebody else gets voted in, and it changes all over again, and then we've got to recalibrate ourselves to live in that thing. Change. Social change, job changes. Kids leave home. Here's a reality if you haven't faced it. You know that those cute little ones that were running around the stage? They grow up. They hear God for themselves. They decide, we want adventure. Guess what? They're going to leave home. Your life as you know it is not like it is now. It's going to change. And when they go, how are you going to deal with that change? If you build your life around those kids, when they go, oh, life is going to be tough. They leave home. We've discovered that ourselves. To pursue their dreams, to walk in their own destiny in their challenging times, because we get used to having them around. Physiological change. Oh, I've got to tread carefully here. Our bodies have not been created to live forever. I don't hear many amens. Amen, brother. Sister. Aspects of our bodies begin to droop and sag. And no amount of anti-aging wrinkle cream or Botox or hair implants or dye is going to inhibit the progress of our bodies decaying. When you get to my age, and there are some around, you'll find that alongside your toothbrush, there is no comb. But there is another gadget which is very helpful for that phenomenon that happens when physiology changes. And that's that thing that's got a battery and you plug it in your ear and it chows all of that hair that grows out of your ears. That's what we have to look forward to. Change. That thing's not just for sideburns. It's for the nose and for the ears. Enough. Okay. Oh. By the way, I've got one of those. When I hit 40, I bought that, and I bought a hockey ball for my sciatica. I'm going to give Jonah one for his 40th birthday. Hockey ball. The realities of the change that comes to our lives. All of this change, political change, PSP syndrome, political change, social change, physical change. There is one constant. His name is Jesus. He is eternally alive and never changes. And so we can embrace old age with confidence. Why? Because we hold fast to the one who is faithful and true. We can hold fast in a political climate that's sometimes so unstable. Why? Place our confidence in Him who is eternally unchanging. When the kids leave home or you have a job change or et cetera, we can still persevere and we can hold fast. Why? Because our confidence is not in the job, not in the circumstances, it's in the one who is faithfully, eternally unchanging. I've determined I'm going to grow old gracefully. Hey, my love. Yeah. Shelley helps me. Shelley helps me. She tells me what I can and can't eat. That stuff will increase the midriff. We share. My body's hers. Her body's mine. We got the freedom to do that. It's gone quiet. Marriage is an adventure. So despite all this change, friends, there is one constant, and His name is Jesus. He is eternally alive and never, ever changes. So when we live with a revelation that Isaiah gives us of Jesus Christ, God with us, as everlasting Father, same yesterday, today, and forever, when we live with that eternal revelation of Him as everlasting Father, we can face whatever change comes with confidence, because what we put our trust in is not our circumstances, but His unfailing promises. We have His unfailing promises as everlasting Father to hold on to. And so this morning, as we receive Isaiah's proclamation about Jesus being the everlasting Father, we have a choice to make. With that proclamation, with that revelation, with that announcement that comes by Isaiah, what are we going to do today with Jesus? What are we going to do today with Jesus, with this news? I'm sure when Isaiah prophesied, made that prophecy in that time, I'm sure there were folk in the midst there who rejected that revelation, but I'm sure there were many, many, many people who bowed their knees and said, I'm wanting to meet this King who can so transform my life. What choice are we going to do, make today regarding Jesus? What are we going to do with Him? We can reject Him. We can continue to live life like we always have, taking the reins, the control of our lives. And if we live like that and we've lived like that, I'm wanting to ask you this morning, how's that going for you? Sir, ma'am, how's that going for you? There was a moment in my life that I lived like that. And I thought, well, I've got it, or I'll just do it my way. My way or the highway, in other words. I realized there's only one who is faithful and true, who is consistent in might, in power and strength. There is only one who can sustain me and be the source of life. That one is Jesus. And when I bowed my knee, does life get any easier sometimes? No. But I can have a confidence in resting in Him and allowing Him to be the source of my life in those moments. This morning, what are you going to do with Jesus, sir, ma'am? Or you can desire change today. You can place your life in His hands. Allow Him to father you. Allow Him to father you. Allowing Him to father us means we need to surrender to Him. He is gracious. He is a gracious Father. He doesn't force Himself upon you. That is the truth. The Bible teaches that. But we are faced with choices that we can make. We can either choose to say, Jesus, I surrender to you. Or we can say, Jesus, I choose to walk away from you. And he'll allow us to do that. He won't force himself upon us. But his heart is, I wish you would draw near to me. As much as I can be like that, I wish you would draw near to me. Because don't you know? Don't you understand the life that is in me, that is available to you? Please stand with me. Can I ask the music team to come up? We sang the song earlier. It's just the lyrics, the words of the song by Corey Asbury. He wrote it and he sings it. Just grip my heart. Incredible words. And they seem to echo what Isaiah prophesied. This truth that is echoed about Jesus throughout history and will echo into eternity about the love of God. Oh, the overwhelming. Let's close your eyes for a moment. Let's listen to this truth. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. It chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. There's no shadow you won't light up. Friends, there is no shadow in your life that he won't light up. There is no mountain you won't climb up. The love of God is expressed that he is prepared to fight for us. Coming after me, there's no wall you won't kick down. No lie that you won't tear down. And I believe in this room, there are many folk who have been living under the lie that has come from the enemy to tell you that you are not worth the love of the Father. And I break that lie, that deception in Jesus' name over your life. That he proved, he demonstrated his love, sir, ma'am, for you when he placed his son upon the cross to break that lie, the deception of the enemy. And maybe this morning, you might have one day confessed some time ago faith in Jesus Christ. But over the years, you've been listening to the wrong voice, the voice of the deceiver. This morning, hear the voice of the everlasting Father that you are worth my blood upon the cross. And live in the revelation of that truth. And when we live in the revelation of that truth, that bondage, that lie, that deception is broken. We can preach it, we can talk it, but you've got to choose it. There's no shadow you won't light up. No mountain you won't climb up. Coming after me, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down. No lie you won't tear down. Coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, reckless love of God.